for allowing me to do this. Amen. So we'll get this finished. Amen. I was talking to Pastor Greg the other day with Pastor Angel, and he was talking about the issue of dominion. And I began to think about my own personal life. And in my own personal life, there are definitely areas where I need to take dominion, amen, where I need to have dominion. So this morning, when I preach, amen, to you, I'm also preaching to myself, amen. A lot of times we look at anybody else and we think, oh man, they have more dominion. But the reality is that all of us have areas where we have got to take dominion, amen. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 10, verse 22. And as you're turning there, amen, this morning, it was King Darius that made war upon the Scythians. And I'm not going to go into the full story, but it's amazing because the Scythians were slaves. And they had risen up against King Darius and the Persians. The Persians were the same ones that fought the Spartans. For any of you that don't know who they are, they in the Battle of 300 and all that. But the Persians began to fight against their slaves. And all of a sudden, King Darius said, why do we keep fighting our slaves with weapons in our hands? He said, cast aside our spears and take each one of us his whip. For so long as they see us with arms in our hands, they count themselves to be our equals. But when they shall see the whips, they shall remember that we are their masters. Thus the Scythians did, and it was so with the slaves, that when they saw the whips, they began to run away. So this is history, amen, and just the mentality, that slave mentality. But we're going to read our text now, Joshua 10, 22, quickly, amen, this morning. Bible says this, then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near and put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies and against whom you fight. Amen. And it came to pass at that time, at the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remains unto this very day. I want to talk about dominion lost this morning. You see, the children of Israel in our text had been accustomed to defeat. The children of Israel had gotten used to despair. They had gotten used to defeat in their lives. In Egypt, you have to remember, these are people that were under a severe taskmaster. They used to whip them and used to hurt them all the time. They were beaten down. Their self-worth was lost. They had no worth. They had no value. They were treated, bought and sold like animals and all of these things. So what happened is they developed a mentality, and in their mind they said, I could never get ahead. I could never be anything else but a slave. They had the slave mentality. And why did this happen? You think about things in the Bible, like, remember Pharaoh, he's like, I want you to build bricks without straw. What was the purpose of that? Purpose was to give them the mentality that says, I cannot do this. I cannot produce something, and made them feel absolutely worthless. And all of a sudden, you think about this mentality, it gave them a wrong perspective about God. They had been slaves for such a long time that they felt like they could never rise up. But in all of this, you know how we are, is we say, God, where are you in all of this? Why am I struggling? Why am I going through a hard time? Why does the devil get to beat on me thus? Amen. Why does he just get to beat the holy crap out of me? Why does he get to do this? And all of a sudden, in our mind, we begin to think that we're fighting this fight alone. Get a wrong perspective about God. These are the same people that watch their parents in the wilderness complain and murmur. You know how they said a number of times, God has brought us out here to die. Moses is not a good leader. Leads them to the Red Sea. You know, it says, oh yeah, you've brought us to the wilderness, but it's only so God could kill us, or it's only so our enemies could kill us. This is a horrible mentality, but the kids had watched this, and these are the same children of Israel that are now marching with Joshua going to take the promised land. But the problem was they had a wrong mentality. You see, the enemy's aim this morning is getting us to believe lies about ourselves and lies about God. The devil's aim is to give us a wrong perspective. You see, because when God created us in the Garden of Eden, what does he say in the Bible? He says, let us make man in our image. And the very next line says, and may he have dominion over all things. Right after God says, okay, you're made in my image. An all-powerful, an almighty God, right after that he says, and let him have all dominion. You see, it is not, our lot in life to not have dominion in every area. God has ordained that we be strong. God has ordained that we have dominion. However, the devil's lie is to rob us. How did we lose dominion? Well, the reality is, the minute we surrendered to sin, we surrendered our dominion. The minute we said yes to the lies of the devil and the lies of hell, we surrendered something, and that was our authority, that was our dominion this morning, and God's aim is that we should have this back. We've given it up for fleshly appetites. We've given it up for sin and condemnation. It has created inside every single one of us a defeated mindset. You know how it is when you sin or you mess up in the same area time and time again. All of a sudden, you think, I am never going to conquer in my personal life. I am never going to get ahead. This is something I have struggled with for years. And God forbid we have friends like Job, Job's friends, who said, oh, I know it's sin. Oh, I know it's this in your life. Oh, I know, Job, you're messed up. And these types of friends, amen, don't need to be in our life. But there are faithful people that will remind you of your failures. Even accidentally sometimes. But what's amazing is in our text, we find Joshua wanting to impart a new dimension into the children of Israel's thinking. It's amazing. What does he say in a verse? My scriptures kind of got erased, so I'm sorry. But it's our text. I believe it's 10:22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me from the cave. You see, even the children of Israel were fighting the fight, but they had not experienced complete dominion. They were fighting. They were having battles. They were smacking some people around. But it wasn't until this point that they experienced absolute, complete domination, in-your-face dominion. They finally got it. The children of Israel, Joshua's there. He opens up the cave. He says, bring these nasty five suckers from the cave and put them in front of me. You see, Joshua represents a pastor. And many times, amen, pastors will speak in our life and he'll say, you have got to take dominion in this area. You have got to fight this. You cannot lay down. You cannot give up. You have got to be up front in your face. Whether you like it or not, we're taking dominion in our own lives because this is the authority God desires. You see, these five kings represent for us the possibility of long reigning sins in our lives. You see, if you were going to be a king back in the day, you had to be smart. You had to have strategy. You had to, it wasn't anyone that came, read about Herod. It says it was safer to be a pig in Herod's house than his own son, because Herod whacked his whole family. Herod killed his son just for the hint that he might try to usurp the throne. And what he does is he has him killed. You know what I mean? So if you're going to be a king back in the day, you had to have some type of strategy and wisdom and power and might. This represents the habits and the sin and the failures of our life. They've been there a long time. Some of these failures strategize against us. Have you ever just said, okay, today I'm not going to sin in this area. Today I'm going to take authority over this habit. And all of a sudden, you're on your face. You got dirt in your mouth. You got boogers running out. You know what I mean? You have like Band-Aid stitches. You fall flat on your face and produce absolutely nothing. You're laying there and said, I'm defeated again. It's amazing because Pastor Joshua says, open the mouth of the cave. He says, we are going to face these things head on. He doesn't say bring one at a time. He says bring them all, because we have got to face this. It's a frontal attack. It's going to be us recognizing. Notice how it lists the king's names. It says the king from Jerusalem, the king from wherever the other ones are from, but it lists them by name, you know what I mean? And this is it. You're calling these areas of your life. God, I am tired of the area of finances ruining what God wants to do. I'm tired of the area of lust, or I'm tired of the area of whatever it is, and bringing them out to you. And all of a sudden, you have to face this, but you call it by name. This is not going to hold me anymore. How many of you know sometimes these five kings in our lives are embarrassing to talk about? Some of these are issues that we're struggling with. Sometimes it's in our minds. Sometimes it's in the everyday actions in life. And it's amazing because sometimes these are embarrassing to talk about. But when you pull them out of the mouth of the cave, what you're doing is you're exposing it. You see, we live in a generation where everyone's a winner. There can never be any losers. There can never be any failures. There can never be anybody that biffs it or falls flat on their face. It's amazing to me, because in this generation of winners, what we have done or what we've become is someone that or somebody that's afraid to say, you know what, I'm struggling. You know what, I have a problem. Because problems are viewed as weakness. This is not so. John Hartson, a professional footballer with the Celtic, West Brom, and Norwich City, delayed seeing his doctor for so long that his testicular cancer had spread to his brain and lungs. The doctor says, it's seen as part of what it means to be a man. Don't be weak. Don't be vulnerable, says Kevin O'Hagan. Men are designed to be tough and hard and unbreakable. Some find it embarrassing or difficult to come out and say, I have a problem. But you see, dominion has been lost in the beginning, because the cry out to God has not been made so that he could help. This dominion was lost, and why was it lost? In our text, in Joshua 10:25, Joshua gives them the reason why it was lost. It says, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Can I tell you this morning, fear is the enemy to dominion. Fear is the enemy to dominion, because of fear of failure, fear that it's not going to work out. Fear that God wants to help everybody but us. Fear is wicked. God was using Joshua in calling what was going on to hold them back from regaining dominion. Joshua, the first thing he says is these five kings come out, and he says, don't be afraid of these guys. They're hiding in a cave for crying out loud. He said, they're not even coming. They're running for their lives. Why? Because these kings knew that there was authority and there was dominion within their reach, so they're hiding. Wow. It's not God calling, so. But you see, God was using this as a picture to show them the authority. Amen. The reason why Joshua could call this out was because God had done it in his life. When Pastor Amen speaks and he says, and at the table, what we were talking about is 180 ministry and getting, I'm saying sometimes, man, the concert, and it seems like a fight at the altar call. And I've talked to some of the altar call preachers and man, yeah, like when you get up, there's a resistance. And Pastor Greg said, that's a dominion issue. So I was like, oh my gosh, I never even thought of that. You see, God, or Jesus, or Joshua, these are the three I'm talking about anyway. But you see, this morning, Joshua can only tell someone about dominion because he had to experience it in his own life. Someone that's conquered and had dominion in an area is able to impart something into your life. Amen. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee, God speaking to him, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. This was spoken to the heart of a leader. This was spoken to Joshua, because the reality is he was scared. The reality is he was dismayed. God speaks to him, and God speaks to the issues. And this is how it is with us. God comes to our own hearts in the midst of failure, in the midst of sin, in the midst of misunderstanding or a wrong perspective of God. God comes in, puts his finger on our hearts, and he says, this is the issue. I will help you. This is the area. Though you are weak, I am strong. What is impossible with man is always possible with God. And God has the ability, amen, to touch us in those places or to help us. And fear will keep us back. Fear will cause us, amen, to be paralyzed. This is why, amen, testimonies and victory reports, when we give them, all of a sudden it encourages the heart of the new convert. He says, if they can make it, I can make it. If they can overcome, I can overcome. And it's amazing because there is a reality, amen, that has presented the mind of someone that is struggling, or perhaps a new convert. If they can have dominion, then I can. You see, fear can cause the greatest to stop going forward. I don't know if you ever heard of Napoleon Bonaparte. He was a little midget man, amen. But when he walked in the room, everybody always stood to their feet. The guy was a mathematician. He was a genius in wartime strategy. He was amazing. He literally could put a cannon somewhere. He knew exactly where the cannonball was going to fall. So he had this. He just understood trajectory. He understood all these things. Powerful. In fact, General Dope, he writes a letter in Robert Asprey's book. He writes a letter about Napoleon. He says, in all my visits to the post, he said, while other men are drinking and playing with cards, poker, and all these things, he said, you can always find Napoleon at his post. Literally, he would sleep by the cannons. He said, I don't have time to drink. I don't have time to play cards. I don't have time to do all these things. He would fall asleep with a coat, whether it was raining and all these things. But here is a mentality of a soldier and he's someone that can battle and could kick some royal backside. And what happens is he's able to do this. But then all of a sudden, in the midst of battle, he has a locket of Josephine, his wife. He drops the locket, has his pitcher, you know, little, they have little hearts and all. Anyway, drops the locket, and it cracks the little glass, and he faints. The guy standing with him, he says, what is wrong? He said, either Josephine is cheating on me or she died when he comes to. And I'm thinking, what a weak little thing to make this guy pass out. You know what I mean? What a weak thing to destroy him. But all of a sudden, fear gripped his heart. Either Josephine, my wife, has cheated on me or she's dead. Fear did that to him. Fear is when you use the bathroom at someone's house and you gotta look in the shower curtain just in case. I know someone's there, you know. Oh, you've never done that, okay. Some of us have a fear in testifying about the dominion that God has given us because we're afraid we're gonna fall again. Some of us have a fear that God is unable to help us, that God doesn't have the ability, amen, to give us victory again. And some of us are afraid to talk about the dominion God's given us because we're afraid we're going to fall on our faces again. But you see, God's aim is for us to have ultimate dominion in our homes, on the job, in the church, amen, in our personal lives, in the areas where no other person can see. God is saying, I have given you complete dominion. What was lost in the garden has been regained through the cross. Dominion is not walking around with a chip on our shoulders. You know, our wife says, can you take out the trash? Listen, woman, you take the trash and make me a sandwich. That's not dominion. Amen? Especially if you have a wife with a good left hook. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But we have dominion this morning over every spiritual dominion, over the enemy, over demons, over all of these things. In Romans 10:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Literally, Paul is saying, it is normal for a Christian to have dominion and authority in his life. This is the norm. We are to have dominion over principalities. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, Paul knew that dominion was supposed to be natural for believers, that they were supposed to walk in complete dominion and complete victory. This is why he says in the Bible, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You see, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It doesn't mean just to win the battle. It means to take absolute control, absolute authority, and have our way. And the devil has no power. The devil has no authority. He is a lame loser, and so is his boyfriend. But to have this, we're going to have to regain dominion. And I close. If we're going to regain dominion in our lives, we must face our fears, failures, habits, and sins. We have got to do this head on. Joshua 10:24 in our text, it says, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all of the men of Israel. And he said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of him. Joshua says, I don't just want you to see a defeated foe. I don't just want you to see a couple of five kings that ran and were hiding in a cave. He says, now I want direct conflict. I want direct action. I want you to get a picture in your mind of what absolute dominion looks like. And he says, and how we're going to do this is you're going to put your feet on the necks of these kings. Because God's given us authority. He's saying, I want you, amen, to begin to take action and speak it out and show or remember what God did for you. Says this to them all the time, the children of Israel. Remember, you were slaves, but you're entering into the promised land now. Remember, and when they did that, there was a picture of complete dominion. In their minds, I could never win this fight against them. I could never beat those kings. I could never beat those habits and those fears and those sins that so easily set me aside, that so easily pushed me off course. I could never win this. And God is going to give in our hearts and our lives a picture of authority over it and a picture of dominion. Why? Because it was purchased at the cross. You know, it's amazing when Eve has her children, when she has Cain and Abel. Abel and Cain. You know how they came out. Anyway, so whichever one's first, Abel and Cain, yeah. So what's crazy is Abel means I have received a man from the Lord. When God speaks to Eve and says, your foot shall crush the serpent's head. What God is talking about is the devil. What the devil has done in pulling you into sin, don't worry, there's coming a day where your man-child, a man-child from your line, is going to crush the serpent's head, is going to crush the devil's head, right? So immediately she names the first baby, and his name means, I have received a man from the Lord. Why did she do that? Because she said, oh, victory's right now. This is a man. And he's going to crush his head right now. But we know that man-child doesn't come until Jesus Christ, right? When Jesus came, we have the authority to stomp on all of these. There is no sin. There is no weight. There is no nothing that should have dominion over us. Through Jesus Christ, spiritually, we have been equipped with all the tools to crush the serpent's head, to smash the devil. He's a liar this morning. And God has given us the ability to have authority over this in our lives. It's already been given in Jesus Christ. You see, the whole battle and all of this with them getting the five kings was a supernatural act of God. You know how they were able to kill five countries at one time? It was because God supernaturally caused the sun to stand still. There are some of you, you've been struggling with habits for some time. And it just seems like in your life, it's been over. It's been over. I'm better. I'm worse. I'm better today. You want to be around people. Don't want to be around people. And it's constant roller coaster of life. Amen. I know. I've lived this type of lifestyle. Amen. Where you're good, and then there's times where you feel like a failure. You don't want to be around people, and all these things. And it's a constant in your life. But let me tell you something. God has the ability, amen, to give us a constant victory in our life, but it has to be a supernatural act of God. We have to ask God to get involved. It's not willpower. It's not setting our nose to the grindstone. It's a supernatural God getting involved with us. You know what the greatest miracle in the world? It's not that the blind see. It's not that limbs grow out. It's not that feet grow out. The supernatural move and power of God is when man finally surrenders his will to the will of God, and they are at one. It's the will of God. You have complete victory, and you have to surrender to that and say, God, I need you to help me. And it's when God helps that we have complete victory. God wants to help you and I more than we want to help ourselves. His aim is to do this. But God will lead us to victory. Matthew 4:1 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was led to the battlefield. Amen. It's like the devil was standing out there, you know, waiting for him. Yeah, he's like, come on, you ever gotten a fist fight? And the guy says, meet me outside. Yeah. One time there was a real heavy guy I was fighting. I'm heavy now, so I don't know why. But anyway. So he's out there and he starts jumping up and down. I said, this guy's gonna be tired after a couple minutes. So I'm taking my time, taking everything off. Anyway, by the time we fought, he was tired. He's like, and I'm like, I haven't even thrown one punch yet. You know what I mean? But I knew because he was jumping up like this, ready to go. And I won that fight. Anyway, But there was a strategy, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, big guy, he's not going to jump forever. He's jazzercising before the fight, you know what I mean? So all of a sudden, I just waited. I took off my, you know, real, it was a strategy. But that's man's strategy. God has a better strategy. God has the ability, amen, to help us. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, amen. Putting your feet on the five kings' necks, amen. This is going to give us victory. It is establishing a standard against the enemy. We're marking our territory, amen. God has given us victory in this area. I close, I know I said close, but I'm really closing. In Joshua 10, 26 and 27, it says, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew those five kings and hung them on a tree until the evening time. And it came to pass at that time, the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this very day. Those stones are monuments over the cave. Every time someone else walked by those caves, they say, that's when God gave us dominion. That is a time in my life when God gave me dominion over those enemies that were stronger than me, that had more authority than I did at the time, that these things, that these enemies and kings that begin to, and every time someone walked past this place, they said, that is a reference point in my life. God wants to give you, amen, some stones this morning. Amen. But not, you know what I mean? Not, we have stones, but God wants to give us, amen, monumental stones and reference points and say, devil, you can't get me there. Amen? Yeah. I still have the monument of when I had complete authority and when I conquered. This morning, the aim this morning is that my brethren would leave this place with a complete dominion in that area. I have areas, amen, God's given me complete victory in, and I have areas where I'm still fighting and I'm still believing God, but I can look at my life and where I was. I'm a lot better than what I used to be. And there are reference points of dominion that I could look back and say, God conquered there, 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 and there. And God wants to give us complete victory this morning. What is that thing that has you bound in your mind? What is that area that you feel like I just cannot win? What is that thing? And God says, I will give you complete victory this morning. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Not in reverence to me, I am a man. But Jesus Christ is the man, amen? And he's here this morning, and under the sound of my voice, you're here, and you say, you know what, I used to have a victory in my life, or perhaps you're living out in the world. You cannot really experience this until you have a supernatural touch from God, until you acknowledge him and say, I am your son, you are my father this morning. Until you do that, you have no idea what I'm even talking about. But you're in this place, and under the sound of my voice, you say, you know what, Josh, I'm not right with God. If I were to die tonight, it is because I allowed the devil to have dominion in every area of my life because I never surrendered to Jesus Christ. You're in this place. You'd pick up your hand. You put it up, say, pray for me. I want to get saved. You're in this place, front to back, side to side. Before we do another thing, don't be ashamed, because Jesus was not ashamed of you when he died on the cross. He wanted to save you. He loves you, wants to bring you to himself this morning. All you have to do is raise your hand, say, remember me, I'm a sinner. I want to get my heart right with God. Front to back, side to side. We're not going to do this for long, but you'd raise your hand this morning. Christians here moving along, Christians this morning, you know what? God's given you absolute dominion. We're going to take a time, amen. We're going to pray. We're going to come and talk to God and say, God, I want this victory this morning. No one's looking around under the sound of my voice. You'd raise your hand and this morning you say, you know what, God, I acknowledge that there are areas by the Holy Spirit that you've shown me in my life that I need to get victory. I need to have dominion. And you've shown me these areas between you and God. Raise your hand and you say, God, I want victory in this place. I want dominion. Yes, hands going up. I understand this morning. God sees that you acknowledge that. Amen. We're going to take just a moment to pray, even at our seats. We're just going to talk to God. Amen. God's going to help us. Let's talk to him between us and God this morning. Amen. Father, we praise you, God. God, touch every heart and every life. God, complete dominion and authority in our personal lives, God. Help us to be the men that you've called us to be. Give us a supernatural battle plan. Give us, God, supernatural power. Greater you that is in us than he that is of the world. We take authority, God. We pray, God, that you would move, even though the battle, God, is before us, that our clothes would not even be singed, God, that you would touch us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, God. Give us a complete victory in the name of your Son, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Touch our lives, touch our hearts, amen. Supernatural dimension and dominion, God. Help us to testify and have the ability to look at monuments of victory and monuments of dominion in our lives. With that said, let's worship God this morning. Father God, we thank you, God. Precious Lamb of God. Amen. Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate all of you guys, my brethren. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. Can we just all give each other one big hug? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. If Josh Wright will pray for us as we close. Amen.